Well, we're very privileged to have Pastor and Bishop Al Motley with us today. He's the longtime pastor at the Way Through Christ Christian Community Fellowship in Chester, Pennsylvania. He's, for the last, I don't know, 8 or 10 years, he's also been one of the bishops in the Philadelphia area, with been part of a team of bishop overseers for the churches in the LMC network, our network of congregations that is located in Philadelphia. And he also serves on the LMC's executive committee. Al is married to Maxine. Sister Maxine, we're so delighted to have you with us this morning. And glad that you're able to join us. They have 2 children and 8 grandchildren. And Al and I have been friends and colleagues for many years. And I know that Al has lots of experience in working with people of other cultures. When I called him and asked him if he would come and be with us this morning, I told him that we were looking for a way to mark Black History Month in a largely white congregation, and I wondered if he would help us to do that. And he kind of paused, and then he laughed, and he said, well, sure. He said, I'll come and help you do that. He said, understand that Black History Month is a fine thing, but I'm a black man 24/7. It's not that I'm just, you know, a black person in the month of February every year. This is a daily lived experience for me. And he said, it's fine if you want to take a moment to remember, and it's fine that we do, especially the accomplishments of black people who have been often overlooked and mistreated. But as somebody who functions in majority white context settings a lot of the time, I think you're an expert to come and help us understand what it's like to navigate being in cross-cultural settings. So God bless you as you speak to us this morning, my brother.
Thank you. Thank you. Carl, blessings to you and your wife and family. I'd like to also acknowledge my friend and his wife, Dick Landis and Lois. Blessings to both of you. Good to see both of you. It's been so many years, a long, long time ago when we became a part of the Mennonite LMC conference. So blessed to be here this morning. Honors and appreciation to all of you as well, pastors and leaders and congregants. Just thank God for all of you. What a blessing it is to be here. Again, to my wife, thank God. I honor the Lord for my wife, Maxine. We'll be celebrating 44 years of marriage. It's okay. We can praise God, all right? Amen, amen. It's because of his grace that we have lasted this long, and I give him glory for that. And we have a new grandson. He'll be turning 8 months, and my wife, I said to her, you've left me for him. But it has truly been a blessing, all of our grandkids. My son has 7 children, 2 sets of twins. Yeah. So he's a phenomenal father, and his wife, phenomenal wife as well. So I just praise God for both of them. But we're going to get right to where we're headed this morning. As Carl so well put it, that I refuse to be subject to 1 month out of the year to celebrate who I am. And I really believe that that's a continual. I'm grateful for the month, but there's a tendency to just lock everything into that 1 month and not recognize the value of African-Americans all year long. And for those of you that are here, I prefer African-American or man of color rather than black. That's me personally. And but I think that we tend to conclude things based on what we hear and what we've heard over the years, and there is a tendency for us to follow that. But Father, we thank you and we bless you for this time that we have together, looking to you, God, as you guide and direct the very words of my mouth, meditations of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, my strength, my redeemer. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, bless your word. All right, if we would, can we just open up to Acts chapter 17? And we're going to begin at verse 24. It says, the God who created the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, because it is he who gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he made from one man. Somebody say it with me. He made from one man. I love interaction, okay? So I'm gonna be, you know, encouraging you, and you're gonna be encouraging me as you help me preach, all right? Amen? All right. So it says, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and boundaries of their lands and territories. This was so that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grasp for him and find him, though he is not far from them. Then the final verse. For in him is where we live and move and have our very being. Would you agree with me this morning? For in him. That means, let me try it again. Would you parrot me this morning? For in him. There we go. We live and move and have our very being. Amen. So God has created a people from various cultures, various backgrounds, various experiences. And I have much to share today, and I have approximately 25 minutes to 30 to share it. So I'm going to commence moving along and going to ask you to stay with me as we do so. Technique number one. Again, we're looking at what? Understanding cultural diversity. Say that with me. Understanding cultural diversity. So the first thing we want to consider is technique number one, choosing the right frame of mind. Choosing the right frame of mind. I think about Philippians chapter 2. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. I love the Word of God. Okay, there's one more in here that loves the Word of God besides me. Is there anybody else that loves the Word of God? Yes, amen. In Philippians chapter 2, let's begin at verse 2. Paul says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, having the same love toward one another, knit together in spirit, intent on one purpose, and living a life that reflects your faith and spreads the gospel, the good news regarding salvation through faith in Christ. Verse 3, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, through factional motives or strife, but with an attitude of humility. Somebody say it with me. With an attitude of humility. Being neither arrogant nor self-righteous. Regard others as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Somebody say that's good. Have the same mind in yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus. That is, look to him as your example in selfless humility. Changing your frame of mind. Know what it says. Becoming what? Self-aware. How well do you know yourself when it comes to dealing with diversity, when it comes to dealing with different cultures? How well do you know you? How well do you know yourself when it comes to being able to adapt, being able to adjust? It's important that you become very self-aware of your surroundings. Consider how you were raised. All of us were raised in different backgrounds and experiences. I'm so grateful to God that God allowed me to experience various cultures throughout my lifespan. My parents made sure of that. And then becoming a part of the Mennonite Fellowship back in, I'm going to say, what, 30? It's been 33 years I've been pastoring. And so we're talking about before that. So it's been approximately maybe about 45 years that I've been a part of the Mennonite church. Started in a Mennonite church. As a matter of fact, Dick Landis was my bishop at the time. And in our experiences, when I went to the church where we were, at the time it was the Lighthouse, and it was, I would say, 70% to 80% Caucasian, 70 to 80% white, and 20 to 30% African American and other nationalities. And so in that experience, I came to understand the various relationships that we developed in that congregation, and it began to grow because my gifting was evangelism at that time. It began to grow beyond. As a matter of fact, we grew out of the wall, so to speak, and we had to build a balcony. And God did some phenomenal things in that ministry. My wife was telling me this morning, she said, the Lighthouse Mennonite Church will never be forgotten because my children still speaks of that today and the influence that it was on their lives and definitely impacted my life as well. But the blessing is that we came to understand that we need to become more self-aware. Those that were in the congregation at the time were different, again, nationalities. As we grew and became more 50-50 as far as the cultures that were there, we grew in those relationships. And oftentimes it was hard to understand the differences, but we were willing to become more self-aware so that we can discover those differences. Amen? All right. Going to try to keep it moving. Choosing the right frame of mind means to do what? What does it say? Practice patience. Willing to be patient with one another as you discover each other. As you understand the different cultures, as you understand how to effectively relate to each other. It is not an easy thing to do, I'm going to be honest with you. But it's imperative because the scripture teaches that we're to do this. Amen? Somebody say this with me. This is a biblical thing. Listen. Can I just be honest with you? It's not a thing of humanity. Humanity can't do this. But I'm telling you, it can be more effectively done because out of obedience to God, we want to do the word. Somebody say, let's do the word, right? Let's do the word. So practice patience. It means you're going to have to walk alongside your brother or sister in Christ that may be of a different culture and understand that relating differently may be something that you need to grow in. And so practice patience. Patience is a virtue, right? Then thirdly, let's keep it moving. Choosing the right frame of mind. Again, what's the emphasis on? Choosing what? Come on, talk to me. Choosing what? The right frame of mind. All right. Third, choosing the right frame of mind is learn to use humor. When I say humor, I'm not talking about insulting humor. I'm talking about good humor. Laughter, as according to scripture, is like what? Good medicine. The original text says that laughter causes good healing. And so you need to learn to laugh. Look at somebody and say, learn to laugh. You need to learn to laugh, man, because we don't laugh enough. We really don't. As Christians, we're so solemn. We're so calm, cool, and collected. I don't know what happens after we get saved, but we forget that we have emotions. We forget that we have feelings. We forget that we have expressions. And so we get saved and we become, right? Oh, praise the Lord, and you know, and how are you doing? And we're so solemn, and I can't imagine that being Jesus. I can't. And I believe God has a sense of humor. When I look in this room today, God has a sense of humor. No. When I think about all of the differences, and when I think about how my wife will tell you that I'm one who I would call it the joy of the Lord, who loves to laugh. And I would encourage you to get some good old down home old-fashioned type movies and just laugh. Learn to laugh. Okay? So use good humor. Again, out of respect. Again, respectful humor. All right? Fourthly. Choosing the right frame of mind says what? Respect different perspectives. your perspective of life and your experience in life is totally different than mine. Okay? My story being here in this country is totally different than yours. All right? My ancestors being in this country is totally different than yours. All of us came here through New York somehow, right? Okay? But yet there's a tendency for us to think this is our world. No, this is when I say our world, there's a tendency for us to think that this is a white world. I'm just going to be honest with you. Can I just be honest with you? Is it okay if I be real with you? All right? But no. This is God's world, if I remember. And then we all live in it. And it's just a matter of us understanding how we can respect each other's differences. Amen? Now, there are things that I don't like about my culture. I have a major problem with the pants hanging off the butt. I can't stand it. I hate it. But if we understood where it came from, and someday I'll teach on that, where it really came from. And so there are things that I don't like about our culture. But yet at the same time, there are things I love about our people. And I've learned to love. Listen, Jesus put it this way when the question was asked of him, what's the greatest commandment of all? He said to do what? Come on, y'all, talk to me. I know I got some Bible believers in here today, some people that knows the word. And you don't have to whisper to me, okay? I want to hear you, okay? Jesus said what when he was asked? What's the greatest commandment?
Love the Lord your God.
With all your what? And what? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Amen? So loving you gives you to, loving God, then loving you gives you to the ability to love others.
That's right.
Amen? You can't effectively truly love others without loving God. All right, I know we live in a society where people, you may think, oh man, they're really loving one another. No. But when you come to understand God's perspective of love, that's the next level right there. Next level. All right. So, next. Accepting each other's differences. Look at that. Isn't that deep? Look at the picture. These pictures are 1,000 words, right? When you look at some of the pictures as we go through, accepting each other's differences. And as I think about this one, I'm going to, as much as I hate to recommend this movie, I was watching it almost by mistake. But I'm glad I watched it. I wouldn't recommend it if you have a problem with profanity. It has some strong profanity in it, but however, I couldn't resist watching it because of the power of the story. It's called You People. Let me just start by saying this. Whatever you do when you're communicating with other people of color, don't use the term you people. Somebody say that with me. Don't use the term. You people, all right, you just don't do that, all right, that's called categorizing, or that's called, well, really, to me, it would be insulting. You address me as for who I am, right? And so this movie called You People, there was a family, a white family, and then there was, as a matter of fact, they were Jewish, and then there was an African-American family, and they were Muslim. And the daughter and the son of the Jewish family met, and they quickly hit it off, and they ended up wanting to get married. And then they met each other's family. Oh, Lord have mercy. And that's why the movie is called You People, because it was their perspective of each other's family. And they assumed things, the families, the mother of the daughter, or of the son, rather, the Jewish mother, she wanted to really make this young African-American woman feel welcome. And she said, I just love your hair. Is it real? What is it? Is it yours? Listen, whether she was born with it or whether she bought it, it's hers. Let me just leave it right there. But hers was real and it was beautiful. And so she said things, and oh, I love your outfit. Finally, the daughter, towards the end, I'm just trying to sort of move it along. towards the end, she said, "I'm not a toy." And she got serious with her. She talked to the mother. She said, "Shelly, I'm not a toy. I don't need you trying to appease me. I don't need you trying to, you're overdoing it. Accepting differences. Don't overdo it." Amen? Don't try to make me fit into your thought process. I'm just being real with you. Is it okay to be real? Is it okay to be real with you? Because I love you. You are my family, and I'm your family, according to Acts chapter 17, right? We're all in the same family, right? Can you say that with me? We're all in the family. Right? All right. And so she finally got with her, and she told her, she said, "I'm not your toy." She said, "You want to introduce me to everybody because you want to put on this facade." And she got right with her. And then the son said to her father, who was African-American, he finally went over and talked to the father. The father stood up and said something about, "We welcome," said something special at the reception. And it was primarily for the daughter, for his daughter. "Well, we accept Ezra because of da-da-da-da," but it was primarily, and then they talked later, and he said, "Well, I only said what I said because of my daughter." And he just told him straight up front, "You never accepted me from the beginning." He said, "I never thought my daughter would bring somebody home like you." And so finally, they confronted it and dealt with it on each part, and then they came together. The soon-to-be couple, married couple, came together, and they said, "Look, we can't." She said, "I can't do this," and he said, "I can't do this." So they ended up parting. Moral of the story is this: once the mother and her father thought it through and processed it, and the father's, I think his brother or nephew or whomever he was, told him, "You were wrong. The stuff that you said about that young man and what you did." Just think, the father ended up, he planned to go with the son on their bachelor party, to their bachelor party. Purposely went so that he could spy on him. You know, that kind of crazy stuff. So, but those are the things that we do. We do not accept each other's differences. Long story short, they ended up finally coming together. And the mother of the son and the father of the daughter made contact, came together, and they brought them together. Surprisingly, they didn't know it. They saw each other coming down this sidewalk. They said, "What are you doing here?" And so the father said, "Well," he told his daughter, "I invited you here. I lied to you, but I had to get you here." And the mother said the same thing to the son. And they, in front of both of each other, apologized and said, "Look, I was wrong. I said things to you. I did things to you that was totally wrong. I apologize. Please forgive me." And then they had the surprise at the end. They didn't know it. They had this big hall. And they said, "We got this surprise for you." They opened the door, and they had the wedding set up already. And the only thing they had to do was just walk down the aisle. It was just so powerful. But that really blessed me. Even like I said, with the profanity, I was able to look beyond that, and just to really get something from that was so powerful. But anyway, let's move on. So accepting differences, technique two. Let's look at it. Again, the first technique was what? Changing our what? Frame of mind, right? Look at somebody and say, "Change your thinking." As a matter of fact, look at somebody and say, "Change your stinking thinking." Come on, yeah, look at him and say it. Don't be scared. Look at somebody and say, "Change your stinking thinking." Oh, y'all haven't looked at anybody. I'm not going to move on until you look at somebody and say it. Look at somebody and say it. "Change your stinking thinking." Okay, some of you still haven't done it. Look at somebody and say, "Change your stinking thinking." Amen, amen. All right, so building relationships. Research different cultures. Be willing to do a study. I have how many more minutes, Carl? Huh? What? Okay. All right. I got two pastors or two leaders up here saying, "Keep preaching." Anybody else saying? Anybody else with me? All right. I'm going to take my time. We'll be done by, let me see, it's 10 o'clock now. We'll be done by 11. I'm messing with you. So research differences. Be willing to do your homework. Be willing to go the extra mile to understand the cultures and the difference in cultures, all right? Relate differently. I may be a little more expressive, like this morning for worship. I can't help but raise my hand, y'all. I can't help but clap a little. I can't help but expressively open my mouth and give God what he deserves. Amen. Because he deserves that and more. You know, we're still here after COVID, right? Can somebody praise God for being still here after COVID? Amen. Can you praise him like you really mean it for being here after COVID? You still have breath in our bodies. Hallelujah. All right, so research differences. Be willing to do some homework. Be willing to come together and ask, we're talking about later on, Q&A. Ask questions. I want you to feel free to be here for Q&A and ask me whatever question you want to ask. And I'll be willing to help you out. I'll be willing for us to grow together. Okay? Research different cultures. Look at the picture. All right? Let's continue. Be willing to make mistakes. Racism is real. Wow. I am a public speaker. No, let me stop. Racism is real. But in the midst of racism, be willing to make mistakes. We're not always going to get it right. The key is walking in the love of Jesus Christ, forgiving one another, and moving on. Amen? Right? The key is forgiving one another and moving on. Don't stay there. Chuck Swindoll put it this way in his book on grace. He said, learn to graciously disagree and move on. Amen? We're not always going to agree. But it's your responsibility and my responsibility for us to accept one another. I got one that's right. Amen, Walls. Building relationships. Learn to be an ally. Learn to be an ally. Learn to come alongside and be supportive. Learn to come alongside and walk through. Galatians, I love Galatians. I believe it's chapter 6, where it says, when you find a brother in fault, come alongside him. Amen? Come alongside of him and walk with him through it. So that's key in this developing and understanding cultural diversity. LMC is more culturally diverse than ever. Did y'all hear me? LMC is more culturally diverse than ever. Vietnamese, Garifuna, Spanish, African, African American, and I can go on and on and on. We went to Ethiopia. Some of the bishops went over together to meet with some of the leaders over there of the Maserati Christus Mennonite Church over there. And so LMC is growing and will continue to grow more diverse. We've got to be ready to welcome those that don't look like us. We've got to be willing to do that. Be an ally. Come alongside one another and walk through it together. Amen? Amen. All right, let's continue. In building relationships, get to know each other. Don't assume that you know me. I'll never forget when I first became a part of the Mennonite Church, and the Lord dealt with my heart to grow this hair. And that was something that I felt that I wanted to do because I had this identity crisis. I was in the Lighthouse. I was in the Mennonite for so long that I had begun to become adapted and begin to lose who I was. Can I just be real with you? You can lose who you are in something else, whether it's an organization or people. And God dealt with me. And when I thought about Locks, I said, Locks, who's that? You know what? I know it's going to be an issue. So I started growing locks. And I thought about it. I said, wait a minute. Samson had locks? Jesus had locks. The Levites had locks because they were told not to cut it. So, okay, God, I'm in good company. I'm going to grow mine. When I grew them, I'll never forget. When I came around my Mennonite brethren, I came to the Mennonite leadership conference. And you know how you feel it? I felt the look. And so instead of asking me, instead of getting to know me, there was assumptions. And so finally, I had to talk to some people and let them know, well, this is why. Okay, you got that gold lion around your neck, right? Oh, why is he wearing gold? Like, can we just be for real, right? Can you be honest with me? Yeah, of course. That was why is he wearing that lion? Well, it represents Jesus Christ, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. It's an opportunity for me to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And also, gold is an investment. Ah. When the dollar drops, the gold keeps going. Amen. I challenge you to invest in some precious commodities. Anyway, I saw the little young brother this morning with the earrings, and I said, yo, you look cool. I like that. Individuals, be who we are, right? All right, let's move on. Building relationships. I believe this is the final one. Make an effort. See the picture? Make an effort. Let's go to dinner. Let's go sit down. Let's talk. Can I ask you some questions? Can I get to know you better? Amen? Make an effort. All right. Let's move on. Okay, we're in technique three. All right, technique three. Communicating effectively. Somebody say that with me. Communicating effectively. All right. What was the first technique? Changing your frame of mind. What was the second? Building what? Relationships. The third? Communicating effectively. This is so important. The passage I think of is Ephesians 4:15. It said, speaking the truth to one another, how? In love. And then what will happen, it will cause both of you and all of you, all of us, to mature and grow up in Christ. Look at somebody and say, grow up in Christ. What I'm talking about this morning is not an easy thing, is it? Come on, be honest with me. Come on, talk to me, somebody. It's not an easy thing, am I right? It's not an easy thing when you're talking about building relationship with other cultures. It's not an easy thing. But it's a must according to Scripture. I remember when I became a part of the Mennonite Fellowship. I'll never forget back in the day, man, when there was issues going on. I remember Philadelphia. There was something that was happening, and people were in need of food or whatever the case may be. I'm telling you, the Mennonites showed up in droves. And ministered and helped people out, took food and so on and so forth, and met needs there in Philadelphia. I'll never forget that. And so we've got to learn to come alongside. Amen. Listen to each other's story. Be willing to listen. Listen without interruption. You know how we communicate. Before my wife gets a word out, I already know what she's going to say. I already know that. No, you don't. Shut up. Just learn to listen to each other's stories, even though those stories may be painful. My stories are not like yours. If I were to sit down and share with you some of my stories, you'd probably be in tears by the time I was done. But we have stories to share. Move right along. Ask questions. Be willing to ask questions. No matter how hard it may be to ask it. Ask the questions. Don't assume. Finally, be sincere. Look at somebody and say, be sincere. Don't listen. Whatever you do, don't come to me with pretense, because I'll read it. I'll read you very well. Don't assume. I'm so grateful to God to be in this place where He's called me to. Even as Esther, for a time such as this. And I'm telling you, my Mennonite brothers and sisters, the body of Christ, God wants to use us for a time such as this. All of the division that has happened in our world and is going on in our world, if my people, somebody say God's people, He said, if my people that are called by my name would humble themselves, pray, seek my face. Here's the key, is seeking God's face. When you seek His face, you will turn. May call for repentance, my brothers and sisters, in some areas. Return or turn from your wicked ways. Know what He said? Pray, seek. But when He says turn from your wicked ways, then He says you will hear from heaven. I'll forgive your sin and I will heal your relationships. I will heal your land. God wants to do that. And I'm excited about Him doing it. Family, thank you so much. Let me just pray. Father, I thank you so much for this time. Thank you for these, your people. Father, I pray that you continue to keep us in perfect peace, our minds, our hearts, and stayed on you. Give us a heart, Father, of sincerity. Not just to say it, not just to talk it, but be willing to do the work. Be willing to be transformed. Be willing to make the difference. Be willing to change our frame of mind. Be willing to build relationships. Be willing to communicate effectively. So I thank you, I honor you, and I bless you for these, your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you so much, Bishop Motley. What a word. What a word. If you are here today and just need to pray with someone, maybe it's a situation going on in your life. Maybe Bishop Motley's word today convicted a part of your heart that you just want to partner with someone. I'll be down front here, and I would love to pray with you. I would love to partner with you in that. And just a reminder, after service here, there's going to be some hot drinks available in the lobby. I would encourage you to fellowship with someone, get to know someone, and we'll have a live Q&A with Bishop Motley here in this room at 10:30. Let's close in a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we have spent together learning more about you and worshiping your name. As we leave this place today, may we be committed to worshiping and serving you in our daily lives. Lord, show us ways that we can bless others each day. Help us to see you in the monotony of the mundane. Help us to see your blessings around us in the simple, small things that bring us joy each day. As we leave this place, please fill us with your peace. Help us go forth with joy that only can come from you. In the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. Go in peace.